Welcome to Shir and Svarno, Parshios Vayakil Pekudei. The Parshios Vayakil, as we know, starts off reiterating the commandment to keep Shabbos, and Chazal, in addition to the later Mefarshim, comment that the juxtaposition of the discussion about Shabbos with the Meleches HaMishkan, the discussion of how exactly the Mishkan was assembled, as is detailed throughout the rest of Parshios Vayakil Pekudei, is meant to reiterate the idea which the Torah spoke about last week in Parshios Kisisa, namely that the Meleches HaMishkan is not Doche Shabbos, that one does not build the Mishkan on Shabbos, notwithstanding the fact that it's a tremendous mitzvah to build the Mishkan. After mentioning in general terms that one is not supposed to do Melech on Shabbos, the Torah, Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Gimel, singles out one of the melachos in particular. It says, "Lo sevaru eish b'chomosh voseichem yom haShabbos." You should not burn fire in all of your homes on the day of Shabbos. So it's striking that after talking about Shabbos in general terms, all of a sudden the Torah speaks about one particular melacha, singling it out. We know that there are 39 melachos, most of which are not mentioned in the Torah explicitly. Why is it that the Torah singles out this particular melacha of havara, of burning fire? So we know the Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, talks about this issue. And the Gemara brings two opinions, both of which don't obviously fit into the pshat, the simple interpretation of the psukim. One interpretation of the fact that havara is mentioned specifically is that havara l'chalek yotzos, that the fact that the malach of havara, of burning fire, is mentioned specifically is to tell us that the malachos of Shabbos are separate from one another, and if one violated 39 different malachos on the same Shabbos, one would bring 39 different chataos, he would bring 39 different sin offerings. We don't view all of Shabbos or all of the malachos of Shabbos as one big unit, rather each transgression by itself, each malacha that's transgressed by itself is considered to be a separate cause for bringing a korban chatos, a sin offering. That leaves open the question, of course, okay, so you have to pick one malacha in order to show that the malachas are not intertwined to that extent. Why pick havara? It sounds like it could have been any of the malachos that would be selected in order to convey that idea. The point just is that the Torah talks about the malachas generally and then talks about one malacha specifically in order to convey this idea that l'chalek yotzos, that one brings separate korbanos chatos for the various different transgressions of the different malachos. But it could have been havara, it could have been bishul, it could have been borer, it could have been osa shtei batei nirin, you know, it could have been any of the malachos. And it doesn't really seem like there's any particular reason why Havara would have been chosen. The other opinion in the Gemara as to why Havara is singled out does focus on Havara specifically. That opinion holds Havara l'lav yatzas, that whereas when it comes to the other 38 melachos, if one violates one of those melachos, it's potentially an Isser Skila, it carries with it the potential of the death penalty by stoning. In the case of Havara, Havara is different. If a person violates Havara on Shabbos, he burns fire on Shabbos, so then that's, quote-unquote, merely a lav. It's only a violation of a negative commandment. The person doing so would get malchus, he'd be subjected to lashes, and wouldn't get the full force of the death penalty. Obviously, this position holds that Havara itself is somehow unique, but we're still left open a little bit as to the question of why. Why should Havara be different than the other 38 malachos? You know, why is it that Osa Shtei Batei Nirin, you know, that a malacha that's involved in the weaving process should carry with it a death penalty, but kindling a fire on Shabbos, according to this opinion, would, quote-unquote, merely bring with it the punishment of Malchus of lashes? So those are two questions which are both left open by the Gemara as to what the uniqueness of Havara is versus the other Malachos. The Svarno on this Pasuk ignores both of those opinions in the Gemara. Again, the Svarno seems to be concerned with Pashat Pshat, with the simple interpretation. But we can take the words of the Svarna in addressing this issue and use them to work them back into both of the Talmudic interpretations, so that here the Pshat and the Drashas of Chazal really can coexist in a certain sense. The Svarna writes, Lo Sevaru Eish, Af Al Pi Shehavara Be'atzma, He Kilkul Al Harov, says the Svarna, most of the time when a person kindles something, it's an act which is destructive rather than constructive. You burn something down. You don't create things, generally speaking. By burning, you destroy things by burning. And here the Svarna doesn't say these words, but if you learn Masechta Shabbos, this concept is a very, very important one in Masechta Shabbos. We know that Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah, the Torah prohibits something called Meleches Machsheves, thoughtful work. We'll translate it in that way. And thoughtful work, generally speaking, is something which is constructive rather than destructive. So one might have thought that by definition, Havara can't be the kind of malacha which is prohibited on Shabbos, because by definition it's destructive in nature, most of the time. It's destructive in nature rather than constructive. Mikol makom, nonetheless, biyosa kli l'chol ha-malachos o l'ruban, nonetheless, since kindling a fire is a kli, in the sense in which it's a means to the fulfillment of the other malachos, or at least many of the other malachos, meaning the creation of fire ultimately is the creation of energy, which can be harnessed and used to fuel, literally, some of the other malachos. One takes, for example, Bishul, the most obvious example. How do you cook? You produce a fire. So in other words, the kindling in that case is something that leads to the performance of one of the other malachos. The same is true for choresh, for plowing, you know. In other words, to form the plow itself, so kindling a fire is going to be one of the steps in the process in creating the plow, which is going to enable the person to plow on Shabbos. So while it's true that Havara very often is destructive in the narrow sense of the term, in the broader sense of the term, it's constructive. And as such, he asura b'Shabbos. That's why it's going to be prohibited on Shabbos. So in other words, what the Svarna says on the level of Pshat is that the Torah has to single out the fact that Havara, that kindling fire, is prohibited, because one would have had a very reasonable Hava Amina. One would have thought that Havara maybe wouldn't be prohibited on Shabbos, that it's included in what the Torah, the Gemara often refers to as Kol HaMekalkel in Pturin. It's something which is destructive rather than constructive. So the Torah has to come along and tell us that we view the act of Havara as constructive, even though very often it can be something destructive. Once we're armed with this Svara, with this insight of the Svarna, we can go back and look at both of the interpretations that the Gemara gives as to why Havara is singled out, and we can understand a little bit better how they connect on the level of Pshat, on the level of the simple understanding of the Chumash. Let's start with Havara l'lav yotzas. We ask the question, according to the opinion that says that Havara is different than the rest of the malachos, with the other 38 malachos, if you violate them, they carry with them the death penalty. But if you violate Havara, so then, quote-unquote, it only carries with it the penalty of Malkus, the penalty of lashes, not the death penalty. So we asked, that seems kind of arbitrary, why should Havara be different than the rest of the malachos? So the Svarna really fits that interpretation like a hand in a glove. The Svarna is telling us Havara is different than the other malachos. The other malachos overwhelmingly are constructive in nature. The malacha of Havara, more often than not, is destructive in nature. So it's true, the Svarna tells us that the Torah is emphasizing it's destructive much of the time, but it also has this constructive element to it. Okay, good. So it's aser, so it's prohibited, but it's still not aser on quite the same level as the other 38 malachos. It's going to be an iser lav. It's going to carry with it the penalty of malchus. It's not going to carry with it the penalty of skila. Similarly, we can also plug in this idea of the Svarna into the other opinion in the Gemara that says that Havara lechalek yotzas, that the purpose that havara, that why does the Torah single out havara as a malacha which is prohibited, as opposed to mentioning all the other malachas at this juncture, is to tell us that we don't view the malachos as one organic unit, where if you do 39 different malachas on Shabbos, you'd only be guilty of, quote-unquote, violating Shabbos. You'd only have to bring one korban chatos. No, you have to bring a korban chatos for each and every malacha that you violate, because each malacha, in a sense, is considered to be a distinct unit by itself. So by emphasizing the malacha, which clearly is different than the whole, so the Torah is saying the same way that Havara is fundamentally different from the other 38 malachos, and you can't neatly package it together with the other malachos. The other 38 malachos are primarily constructive. Havara is primarily destructive, so you have to treat it as a category in its own right. So that reflects on the rest of the malachos, that just as Havara is unique, so too each of the other malachos is equally unique and has to be treated as deserving a korban chatos by itself in its own right. And we don't just lump them all together and say that these are prohibited activities which violate lo sasa ko malacha, that you're not allowed to do any work on Shabbos. So the insight of the Svarno helps us understand a little bit better, I think, the drashas of Chazal that relate to this pasuk. Let's take this one step further. Yaakov Kamenevsky Zatzal, in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov, quotes the Svarno, and he says this explanation of the Svarno can help us understand a Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov. What's the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov? So the Gemara Masechta Beitza tells us that there's a principle known as Mitoch. Mitoch Shehutra Litzarech, Hutra Nami Shelo Litzarech. What does that mean? So we know that one is allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov for the purposes of being able to eat. You're allowed to cook for the purposes of being able to eat. You're allowed to carry for the purposes of being able to eat. So comes the principle of mitoch, and it says that just as you're allowed to do certain malachas on Yom Tov in order to enable you to eat on Yom Tov, you can even perform those malachas not in the context of eating on Yom Tov. So to take the classic example that the Mishnah Masechta Beitza talks about, I can, if I'm going somewhere and I need an emergency kugel infusion, I'm walking somewhere on Yom Tov and I need to carry a kugel to be able to eat. So that certainly is permissible on Yom Tov. But not only can I carry a kugel on Yom Tov to enable me to eat on Yom Tov, I can even push a baby in a stroller when I'm going somewhere on Yom Tov. I'm not planning on eating the baby. That's right. But once the Torah allows me to carry for the purposes of being able to eat, the purposes of ochel nefesh, mitoch shehutra litzarech, so the Torah also allows me to carry for purposes that are not directly related to eating as well. That's what the Mishnah says in Masechta Beitza, as explained there by the Gemara, Daf Yud Beis. So the Rambam has an interesting sheet on Hilchos Yom Tov, where the Rambam says that this principle of mitoch only really applies to two malachos. It applies to hotza'ah, to the prohibition of carrying, as outlined explicitly in the Mishnah and the Gemara Masechta Beitza. And it also applies to havara. It also applies to kindling a fire. You can, according to the Rambam, you can kindle a fire for the purposes of eating. Again, when we talk about kindling over here, we're talking about lighting from a pre-existing flame. You can light a fire from a pre-existing flame on Yom Tov for the purposes of eating. You can also light a fire from a pre-existing flame on Yom Tov for something that has nothing to do with the purposes of eating. You can, as we know, you can light Yom Tov candles that illuminate the room, even though that doesn't have to do with the idea of eating per se. Why is it that these two malachos are singled out as being subject to mitoch, and other malachos don't fall into this category? So Rabbi Yaakov, again, very, very tersely references the Svarno, and he says this Svarno would seem to be a basis for the Rambam. That's really all he says. What does he mean by that? So it would appear that he means as follows. The Balei HaTosfos, in numerous places, refer to Hotza'ah as what they call a malacha gerua. It's a low quality malacha. In what sense is it a low quality malacha? They're high quality malachas and low quality malachas. Yes. Yeah, so in other words, as opposed to the other malachas that all involve creating a fundamental change in an object, hotzah, carrying, doesn't really change the object itself. It just transports it from one place to another. So in that respect, hotzah is not as transformative a malacha. It's not as strong a malacha as the other 38 malachos. Again, the term that the Baalei Tosfos use, it's a malacha geruah. It's a low-level malacha. It's not quite on the same madrega, not quite on the same level as the other malachos. It would seem, according to this Svarno, that although the Rambam doesn't use this terminology, but one might describe Havara as a malacha geruah as well, as a lower-level malacha. Not quite in the same sense as Hotza'ah, because after all, the sense in which the Hotza'ah is a malacha geruah is that the object of the malacha is not transformed in any way. But Havara, according to the Svarno, is also a malacha geruah, even though he doesn't use the term. As opposed to the most of the other malachos, where the malachos are constructive in nature, Havara is mostly destructive in nature. Again, it lacks a certain element which most of the other malachos possess. So it would seem that that's what Rabbi Yaakov is saying, that this Svarno could serve as the basis of the Rambam's position that the concept of mitoch applies only to hotza'ah and havara. What's mitoch? Mitoch means that it's easier to allow instances of this malacha on Yom Tov, even where the malacha does not pertain directly to ochal nefesh, to something which will allow a person to eat. So it's easier to do that to malachos which are kind of shaky to begin with, malachos that are malachos geruos to start off with. Hotza is a malacha geruah, as per the Baalei Tosfos, because nothing is being transformed. And according to the Svarno, Havara is also a malacha geruah, because it's fundamentally destructive in nature, as opposed to being constructive in nature. So there's a certain commonality between the malachos of Hotza'ah and Havara, and it would make sense why the Rambam would restrict the concept of mitoch to these two malachos specifically. So again, in these few words in the Svarno, not only do you understand the pshat and the pasuk in a very, very helpful kind of way, but we can extrapolate from the words of the Svarno to understand Gemaras, to understand the Rambam, which is difficult to understand. And certainly in the case of the Rambam, one of the Gedolei Olam of the last generation, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, was very quick to link together this Svarno, these few comments of the Svarno, with the position of the Rambam. Okay, so as we continue reading through the Parsha, on Shabbos or on Yom Tov? Right, so on Shabbos, the whole issue of electricity is widely discussed. The extent to which using electricity is a Torah violation of Havara is probably most true when it comes to a light bulb that has a filament. Because when you have a light bulb that has a filament in it, that really is very similar to fire in the following ways. You're doing something which produces light, you're doing something which produces heat, and you're doing something which causes the source of the light and the heat to be consumed. In other words, if you were to light a log and have the log burn, so the log is being consumed and it's giving off heat and light at that same time. The same is true with the filament in the light bulb. The filament is slowly being consumed, and in the process, it's giving off light and heat. So turning on an incandescent light bulb, according to most poskim, is a violation d'araisa of Havara. Once you get past the incandescent light bulb, it's harder. Meaning a prohibition that comes from the Torah. Once you get past the incandescent light bulb, if you're talking about just turning on a fan, an electric fan on Shabbos, it's harder to define that as havara de araisa, as kindling that is a Torah prohibition. In fact, I'm not sure if anyone defines it as that. There is a well-known position of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish held that when you complete an electric circuit, particularly an electric circuit that causes an appliance to then be turned on, that might be considered to be a malacha of bone, of building. Again, nothing to do with kindling, having to do with building. And the Chazon Ish held that because of that, every time you complete an electric circuit, especially when you turn on an appliance as a result, so that also is considered to be a Torah violation. Others, most notably Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, disagreed with that Chazon Ish. And according to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, most instances of the use of electricity on Shabbos violate Yisurim D'Rabbanan, rabbinic prohibitions, as opposed to violating Yisurim D'Araisa, prohibitions that come from the Torah itself. So, the application of Havara to electricity does apply, but on the Torah level, it's probably limited to when you're using an incandescent light bulb, and other examples of electricity would either be prohibited based on bona, on building, or would be prohibited rabbinically, as opposed to being prohibited by Torah law. So in Perek Lamed Vav, reading a little bit further, Pasuk Chof Vav, we find the statement, V'chol ha'nashim, asher nasa libon osana b'chachma, tavu eso izim. The women who were very talented and were helping to prepare everything for the construction of the Mishkan, they would weave the goat hairs. Let's just get the pasuk. Art Scroll translation, all the women whose hearts inspired them with wisdom spun the goat hair. They would spin the goat hair. And the Gemara comments that the term Tavu Es Ho'izim, they spun the goat hair. It doesn't say in the Pasuk they spun the goat hair, it says they spun the goats. So what exactly was going on over here? I mean, spin the goat, sounds like a weird kind of game. What does it mean that they spun the goats? So the Gemara comments that they spun the hair of the goats while it was still attached to the goats. Rashi brings it on Chumash. Hi haisa umnos yesera. This was really a real talent that the women had. Shemei al gabe hoizim hayu tovim osam. They would spin the hair of the goats while it was still attached to the goats. So granted, that's rather impressive. I don't really know anyone who can do that, but seems to be totally unnecessary. I mean, what was the point? They were just showing off how talented they were, that they could spin the hair of the goat while it was still attached to the goat. Why was it important to do that? So the Svarno writes as follows: Me al ho'izim kedivayim zichronim livracha. He quotes the statement of Chazal, the Gemara and Shabbos, Ayin Dalet Omid Beis, that they would spin the hair while it was still attached to the goats. But he explains, Leman yihya betivoy zohar nosaf. If they would spin the hair while it was still attached to the goats, there was a certain shine and luster that the hair had, which it would lose when it was detached from the back of the animal. Ki beharbe mehapshutim. Because it happens to be true that when it comes to numerous simple objects that we find in nature, yimat ksas mituv echusam kasher yayakru b'makom gidulam, they lose some of their quality to a certain degree when they're separated from their place of growth. Kmo sheyikra b'dvash devarim uvecholav ezulasam. That's true, he says, when it comes to honey. It's true when it comes to milk. Again, we use honey, we use milk, but it's not quite the same once the honey and the milk are separated from the place in which they grow. The more you can attach something to its source of chiyus, to its source of life, the better quality it's going to be. So what these women were doing by spinning the goat hair while it was still attached to the goats was not just a way of showing off, hey, look what I can do, but it actually preserved the quality of the hair to a much greater extent. They wanted to go the extra mile in making the Mishkan as beautiful as it could possibly be. One of the basic questions that really many, many Mefarshim ask with regard to Parshios Vayakel Pekudei is, why do they exist? And I think many of us who come to Shul and hear Parshios Vayakel Pekudei may be wondering the same thing. Isn't Vayakel Pekudei really just a very long reiteration of Parshios Truma Tetzava? Right? What's Vayakel Pekudei? They carried out everything that it says that they were supposed to do in Parshios Truma Tetzava. So you could have summed up Parshios Vayakel Pekudei in two psukim. You know, Vayasu kichol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, ayin sham. Look back in Truma Tetzava, and the people carried out everything that they were supposed to do, according to those Parshios. So the Sfarno addresses this issue in Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk Ches. He writes as follows: the kafal beparshazol kol ha'omer lamalo betzivu beparshas truma. Everything here is repeated, even though it was commanded in Parshas Truma. Lahodia she'osu akol bekivun la'asos kiritzon mishetziva ulatachliso. The point of repeating Parshios Vayakel Pekudei is to say that the Klal Yisrael carried everything out with this tremendous sense of kivun, of kavana, of direction, and they had in mind to carry it out in accordance with the Ratzon Hashem, the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who had commanded to carry out the Mishkan, and for the same purpose. I think what the Sfarno is saying, again he's saying it rather tersely, is that not only did they not deviate in terms of the details, right? The fact that they didn't deviate in terms of the details, I don't know if that would have required a whole two parshios in order to tell us. Just a kechol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. But not only did they not deviate in the details, but they maintained a constant kavana, a constant focus in building the Mishkan. A, that it carry out Hashem's will. It would have been so easy for the people involved in building the Mishkan to focus on the artistry of the Mishkan, on building something beautiful. They could have focused on the aesthetics of it. This is a beautiful project we're putting together. We feel really good about it. There was really none of that. The focus was exclusively on Hashem told us to do this. We're going to carry it out. And they carried it out for the tachlis, for the purpose that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for the Mishkan, namely that the Mishkan should be a place of Hashra'as HaShchina, of bringing down the Shechina into Klal Yisrael. They didn't see it as a national monument. They didn't see it as a source of national pride or anything like that. This is about bringing down the Shechina and making it clear that Klal Yisrael had those kavanos, had those intentions, is so important that it's worthwhile for the Torah to repeat Parshios Vayakel Pekudei, even though it seems to us on the surface to be excessive and long. But making sure that the kavanos of Klal Yisrael were exactly what they were supposed to be is that important that it's worthwhile for the Torah to spend precious time and precious ink going over that idea. Here Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, Lefikach.